ASEAN, ASEAN, ASEAN homeland, ASEAN doesn't say. Amen. Well, now tomorrow's the Lord's Day. Not the Sabbath. Not the Sabbath. If you've been praying, Lord, thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Wake up, turkey. It's not the Sabbath. You done stripped the gear somewhere. It's the Lord's Day. Amen. Christ is the end of the law. Amen. Some of you are thinking I lost a few marbles somewhere, but no, I'm right. Tomorrow's not the... Today's the old Jewish Sabbath. Amen. Now, tomorrow, the sun comes, be the Lord's Day. Let every one of you lay him by in store. Amen. The time to bring God's tithe. Amen. Send them, bring them. Amen. You're cooling down on me a little bit, aren't you? Just mention tithe and your ears begin to twitch. Amen. This religious world gag amazed. Honest, I get so sick of this little Sunday morning crowd that wants to show God how great they are. I believe it's time we worship the Lord.
Amen.
Get down to business.
Amen.
See, I'm old now, getting old every day, and I'm too far down the road to try to impress anybody. I don't want to be impressed. Just be real. Amen? Just be real. Not a phony. Be real.
Amen.
Let the world know where you stand with Jesus. You say, I might get killed. Yes, sir. That's right. You stand a good chance of it. Amen. Just be real anyhow. We're glad to see all of you here tonight. Now, tomorrow, be in your place here, 10 o'clock. Lord, you said you're going to be here. Yes, sir. The Lord will be. And if you hear I'm dead, don't you believe a word of it. I tell you what, friend of mine, the place to be on the Lord's day is in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, you be praying tomorrow for the services. Pray earnestly. And we'll be leaving on Monday morning early, going up to the KY stake. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua. And we're reading some there. And then bring the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. The Lord has dealt with us about this. From Joshua chapter 2, not to overlook any of the Scripture, it's all good. But to save time, I'll bring the Scripture that I'm going to read up to where I'm going to start reading. Rahab, the harlot, has hidden the two spies on top of the roof amidst the flax that's stacked there and has sent their enemy, God's men's enemies, off on a wild goose chase. She said they went that way, so to speak. And they took off after them. And you know the story. But after they was gone looking for him, she went up on the roof to talk to God's men, the spies. And we'll begin there in verse 9 of chapter 2. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord will give you the land. Is that right? Half. Past tense. Already. Already done it. I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. There's a message right in that. I'm not going to preach on that, but it's there. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters. Now, who dried up the waters? All right. Of the Red Sea, not a little creek, not a little bitty trickling, murmuring. No, no. God said, if I'm going to do a job, I'll do it big, and I'll just dry up the sea. Now, there ain't many folks doing that today. All right. All right, for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer. My Father, I come to Thee now with one great conscious fact looming in my heart. I can't preach. I don't know how to preach. God, tonight, if there's anything worthwhile done, it'll be the power of the Holy Ghost that'll take this unworthy creature and preach through him. So, Lord, we wait before you. God, we've assembled here. We've come to hear from heaven. Lord, we need a touch. We need the hand of God to rest upon us, to give us that guidance, that unction, that anointing, that liberty. And Lord, may Thy people say as they leave, I got a glimpse of Jesus. Have Your way, we pray. Save the lost. Draw those backslidden hearts back home. Revive us all. Challenge us. Convict us. Convince us. Convert us. And our Father, we'll thank You for it. In Christ's holy name, amen and amen. I heard a story one time where two men was about to have a fight. One of them was a little bitty scrawny, oh, just weighed barely 100 pounds. Now the other man that was going to fight him weighed somewhere in excess of 250. 6 foot tall, muscles all just so big. And he said, now I'm going to really beat you up. I'm just going to really work you over. And that little fella had on some old shaggy clothes and a great big old floppy coat. And he said, now I don't know what you're going to do that or not. And he reached down in one of them big old coat pockets and pulled out a great big old calf leg pistol with a barrel about that big around and stuck it up on that big feller's nose. And that feller said, now that makes the difference right there. That makes the difference. I want to preach tonight on this subject. The Lord makes the difference. Now when Rahab had looked and saw what God had done, she told these men, we've heard. Oh, that's good right there, isn't it? She did not say, we've heard how smart, how intelligent, and how intellectual your army is. We did not hear how perfect they were, but she said, we heard how the Lord was with you. Amen. Now, folks, you hear me tonight. I don't care how big the building is, how much DuPont 501 we have on the floor. It's whether the Lord is there or not. Amen.
Amen.
It's not how great a polished choir we may have. It's whether God's in that choir or not. I feel some preaching turning over right now. Amen. Amen. Did God ever just take you and strip you and make you realize how nothing you really are? That's one of the greatest days that ever happened to you. I remember, it's painful for me to tell this, but I've got to. God wants me to. I was a young Christian, and I found out by accident one day that the pastor was going to call on me to lead in prayer on Sunday morning. Boy, listen, that lack of scared me to death. But God was about to take that hour and teach me a lesson. I said, if they're going to call on me to lead in prayer, I've got to be ready. I got me a great big old notebook. I went way back over in the woods where nobody couldn't find me or hear me, see me or nothing. I got me a pencil. And man, I began to write me a prayer. I mean, I began to write it. What didn't look good, I'd erase it. I mean, I polished that prayer all day long. I mean, oh, you said now, preacher, yeah, I did. I mean, I actually practiced on it a few times. And I said to myself, they'll never be able to take this. They'll probably shout till they tear the house down. Oh, listen. I mean, it was one of the nicest prayers you ever heard in all the world. I mean, I polished that thing. Oh, I mean, I just got all the rough edges off of it. I knew exactly how I was going to do it. Now, in our church, we had seats like this, and then a little row of seats over there, about four or five, call it the Amen Corner. I was going to get over in the Amen Corner, and I had my overalls on. You know, I had a pocket up here, up in the bib of the overalls. And I'm going to get there early where I can get my seat just exactly right. And nobody is over on that back seat. The old Amen fella set up on the front. I got the very back bench on the Amen Corner. And I got over in there, and boy, I had that prayer down in my pocket. And I had the pocket. I wasn't even going to have to go to the trouble to unzip it. All I had to do was reach in there and get it. And when they closed their eyes, I was going to spread it out on the floor and take off on it. It was enough. The preacher got up and said, now we're going to call on young brother Baloo to lead us in prayer. I said to myself, you've had it. And I got down on my knees. I reached in my pocket in all the corners. I reached in my pocket all the way to the end of my breeches leg, and my prayer was gone. I sweated 5 gallons right there. I mean, I was bleeding to death. I mean, the old preacher said, lead us, Brother Blue. And I thought, Lord God, open the floor and let me go through. And the only thing I said was, Lord, have mercy. You said now, Brother Blue, I'm really good at my singing. Oh, you ought to hear me sing. Your singing's not worth a dime until God gets right in the middle of it. Amen. The Lord makes a difference. Amen. You say, well now, Brother Blue, you ain't no preaching done unless I can do it. I saw preachers sit around at preachers' meetings and conventions and sit there and look as if to say, now if I was up there, let me tell you something tonight. Preaching's not worth listening to until God gets in it and liberates and unctionizes it and empowers and speaks through you. Amen. Sick and tired of these professional preachers. I mean that God don't have to help, they know how. I'm so sick and tired of this bunch of preachers that's trying to show the world how smart they are. But they ought to remember God chose the foolish thing. Amen. That's the reason I know God calls us to preach. Amen. Takes nothing and makes something out of it. What I'm trying to do tonight is let the wind out of your sails. I'm tired of these professionals in church that has
that I don't even need God. Say down, God. I can do it. I can't do anything without you.
Amen. I wouldn't have God we had learned this fact. I wouldn't have God tonight. You'd get a grasp and realize that your life is meaningless and empty and dark and void until God takes over. Amen. Some time ago, some years ago, nothing of my doing, but I got a call from a large seminary in the city and asked me if I'd come and preach. Now, I might as well tell you now, folks, I'm not trying to impress you with ignorance. I've tried to study. I've tried to apply myself. I've tried to let God pour into my heart what He wants in there. I've tried not to just to be as fast as me in the moron department. I've tried to apply myself. I've tried to take the time God gives me and search the Scriptures. I've tried my best to find out and to be the preacher God would have me to be. Tried to. But I'm going to confess before you not to, for you to go out and say, oh, that ain't the reason the only education I've got is a fifth grade education. And so, you said, are you bragging about it? No, I would to God that I had a high school and college. I wish I had, but I haven't. But I want to say this. They sent for me to come and preach at this seminary, and I still say ain't and you'ums and them'ums. My English is terrible. Grammar's awful. I mean, I'm just horrible when it comes to trying to be polished. I can't be polished. You just have to let me be what I am, or I'm not worth a dime. God's got to do it. Amen. Well, they asked me to come and be there, and I don't hang around many seminaries. I guess you called on to that. And I got there, and here a dean, there a dean, everywhere a dean, dean. Ever see so many deans in my life? And if I'd ever found me a place to get sick, it was there. Because there's more doctors than you ever saw. I mean, Lord God, if you're going to get sick, go there to do it. Amen. Doctor here and doctor there and doctors all around me. I mean, I thought, Lord God, now's the time, Ed. If you're going to get sick, do it. Amen. And I'm honest, I'm scared. I'm scared to death. Oh, my soul, I'm frightened. I just knew I'd have foot and mouth disease. I just knew I was going to mess up. God bless your heart. Suddenly the blessed Holy Ghost said, who made you? I said, you did. And he said, who called you this? I said, you did. And he said, who give you a mouth? And I said, you did. And he said, don't fear them. Don't even fear them. Don't worry about that. I'm in control. I'm driving this vehicle. I'm driving this vehicle. I'm in charge. And all of a sudden, that doctor said, now we'll have evangelist Ed Blue. My legs were trembling. I was shaking all over, and I got up, and all of a sudden, there was a calmness come over my soul. The Holy Ghost said to him about this deep to a giraffe. And, I mean, God got there, and the Shekinah glory of God settled down like a smoke. All of a sudden, the power of God took hold, and I'm a preaching in a slobbering on fire rose. And all of a sudden, I heard somebody say, "Wow!" And somebody jumped up and fastened his legs around me, and I looked, and it was one of them demons. And I was carrying him pretty good till I heard another one on this side say, "Wah!" And he got me on this side. And I looked at him and I said, now, fellas, I can't carry both of you. You have to get off. I got to preach. The little kids run up to me a lot of times after service said, would you sign my Bible? Well, I that don't help the Word of God, but I know the reason. They won't. But that's all right. But I want to tell you something right now. The deans was actually asking me to sign their Bible. I thought, my soul around here, amen? Folks, listen to me. What I'm trying to tell you, your life will be empty and meaningless and just worthless
until you let God get the wheel. Amen. The Lord makes the difference.
Amen.
Sometime after that, they wrote me and said, we want to bestow an honorary doctor's degree on you. Lord God, I'm not even a good nurse. And I wrote them back and said, No, I said, ain't no way. No, sir, there ain't no use there. And they wrote me again and said, we only want to. We know that you're limited in your education, but God's only. And we want to honor him. And we want to respect what God's doing, not just what you're doing. Because God's doing it. We want to respect that. We want to say thank you, God, for showing us that you can take a man of limited education and bless him. And I said, I don't think so. My wife said something, and they said, well, why don't you go? Why don't you go? And they wrote me a letter again. No, the dean called me and said, if you don't come, we're going to mail it to you. And I said, well, I reckon I better go. And I went down there, Lord God, scared to death. And here was men back in the room. They let us all out, you know. They let us all out of a room. And here was all these men that had studied years and applied themselves, earned degrees. Oh, men of great knowledge. And here I am back in there in that room, and them are putting that big black nightgown on me. And I'd have made it pretty good till they put that square hat with that tassel in front of my eyes. And here I go going, trying to, amen. And I go walking out on that stage. They sent me down that crowd. And, oh, listen, scared to death. And after a while, they said, here's this one fellow with these little roll of paper standing up there calling off name. And they said, Dr. Ed Ballou. Looked around to see where he was. He found a judgment and said, you. And I went on up there and they gave me that. I started to walk off and the man said, and I said, huh? And they reached up and got it and flipped it one way or the other. Amen? Well, what I'm trying to say, after service, I got two blows. One fellow walked up to me and said, now that you're Dr. Blue, does that help you preach anymore? And I said, son, does a curl in a pig's tail make it any more hog? What I'm trying to say, God makes a difference. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. On the way home, my blessed wife really fixed me. She's riding along and I'm driving. She's quiet. After a while, she spoke up and said, saw you on the stage tonight. I said, you did? Yeah. She said, you know what you look like in that big black gown? I said, no. She said, a pig in a parachute. I know that's funny, and I understand that. But you know, I'm glad she said it. I'm glad she said it. Oh, the day you begin to climb that tree of pride,
amen,
and self-exaltation, amen, and think how great you are, how God just cannot do without you. Honey, you're not going to backslide. You've done it.
Amen.
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 I mean, when you begin to think you're the best Sunday school teacher that's ever been, honey, you're not going to get in trouble. You're done in trouble.
Amen.
When you think the choir could not sing without you, you're not going to get in trouble. You're already in trouble.
Amen.
Amen. God makes the difference. You want your life to be full and overflowing and running and bless others. Ask God to slay you. Ask God to let old self die. Paul said, I'm crucified.
live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why, if I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, oh my soul, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. A lot of folks talk about Paul having all the education. But you know, when you look at Paul and listen to him, you realize suddenly, he said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. They tell me that Paul was a man that probably spoke like stutters badly, real bad. Paul said, I came not to you with excellency of speech, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would be great for God, ask God to kill that root of pride and that own thinking of your own dignity and your own appraisal of yourself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, the only thing in me or you either is not our righteousness. It's Christ. It's God. It's that power of God. Amen. And so God makes the difference. She said, we've heard. We have heard how God literally dried up the Red Sea. And she said, we heard how God took care of those kings. We heard that. Oh, my friend. And she said, when we heard it, everybody around here turned into a bunch of cowards. Said they wasn't no courage. Said we just lay like that, ever just melted away. Oh, you said, why, Preacher Blue? I tell you right now, I don't see that. I'm going to tell you, friend, some of the greatest people I've ever met in the world were what this world's religious crowd would call small and insignificant. Been a little. Oh, let me tell you something. You find you an old preacher that may have corns and calluses. He may be what the world would say uncouth. He may be unpolished and undignified, but if he's got the power of God on him, if he's got God on him, and God in him, and God around him, and God under him, and God over him, he'll tell you something that'll help you. Show me a man that's went through all the textbooks. Show me a man that's been taught by the finest religious minds in the world. Show me a man that is eloquent in Greek and Hebrew. Show me a man that astounds the public. But if that same man would crawl up in the pulpit with fear and trembling and show God, if anything's done, you'll have to do it. That same man will bring a message that will help your heart. Amen. Quit giving man praise. All the glory belongs to God. And if that man won't give it to God, he's not God's man. Amen. Have I ever tell you folks about, I'll give you the end of a message that I preach. It's on prayer. Did you ever folks get down and pray and say, Our Father. Sickening, isn't it? This makes old hot water boil up in your mouth. That's what they call a professional prayer. That's what you call an ear-tickling prayer. But folks, that's not praying. I remember a time the greatest prayer I ever heard was at 1 o'clock in the morning. A little mentally retarded boy on his knees hanging across an altar bench at 1 o'clock in the morning. And his prayer, and don't laugh at this, I'm not trying to mimic or make light of it, but this little prayer went like this. Jigga, me too do love you. Uto, ui, me too much. Me had to hear me go next.
And suddenly I was aware that God was in that place. I believe with all my soul God come and sat on that pew that morning at 1 o'clock while little Billy said, if you was here, I'd hug your neck. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord makes the difference.
Amen.
If I was a Baptist, I'd shout all over this place. This is just the introduction of the message, but I'm dealing with this to show you without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. One of the greatest pianists I ever saw. One of the greatest piano players I ever saw in my life. You couldn't call her beautiful. You'd even stretch the point to say she was pretty. And she played the piano in the church I pastored. And all had a big, huge, grand. And I saw this happen more times than I. As the old saying goes, I got fingers and toes. Oh, that great choir would be singing. That old baby grand would just be boiling. You talk about music. I mean, music would just flood your soul. And all of a sudden, Brother Ed, I'd hear that big old grand stop. Wouldn't be a bit, well, the notes would lay silent. Not a sound from it. And I'd look over at that old girl. And she'd have her hands up in there. Saying, oh God. One Sunday morning I saw her get up off of that piano and run around to the altar and lay her hands down there and said, God, if there's any pride in them, take them out. Lord, don't let me play a note that won't glorify you. Amen? God, don't let me play unless it'll bring glory to you. And suddenly I looked at her and saw a beauty queen. I saw a beautiful girl. You know, girls, let me say this to you. After you've done all you can to that face, after you've doctored and done all you can with the magics of mirrors and lipsticks and all of that, your beauty doesn't lie there. I don't lie there. The prettiest girl in the world is one with face washed and clean, hair fixed and adorned herself in clean, modest apparel. When she walks down the street, it makes a man, if he's got a hat on, want to take it off. Say, good morning, lady. Oh, it's the Lord that makes the difference. I say, it's God. It's God that makes a difference in your life. Amen. Men, you may not have been called to visit the president. But your manliness does not depend upon whether you're known by congressmen or senators, whether you're known by Jesus.
Amen.
So the Lord makes the difference. She said, we've heard. Notice not only that, the Lord makes the difference in your heart. The psalmist said, Lord, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. Are you all mixed up today? Are you full of doubts? And are you full of despair? Are you chewing your fingernails off to your elbow? Are you a nervous wreck? Let God take charge of your life. Let God take control. Let God have His way in your life. Because God makes the difference. Amen. You shall, Brother Blue, I'm trying to do this. Oh, I'm trying my best to work this out. Why don't you say, Lord, I've made a mess of it. I've struck out. They've already thrown this third strike at me. I failed. I flunked out. And God hears what's left of the failure. Here I am, God. I'm just nothing. But Lord, I'm laying everything in your hands right now. I'm laying my life. God, here I am. God, take me and use me. If you'll ever let God take control of your life, that life can be full.
That life can be meaningful. That life can be a blessing to others. That life can be a help and an encouragement. But until God gets your whole life, you're not worth the powder and lead it would take to blow your brains out. I don't care how much of an opinion you may have of yourself. I don't care what you may think of yourself. You're not worth a dime until you die to self and come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm saying this, and if you misinterpret what I'm saying, if you misinterpret this and misconstrue what I'm saying and misapply this, then God will judge you. And I'm saying this to glorify God. I'm saying this to magnify the Savior. One night, one day, in a large, large conference, some of the greatest preachers that America's got, one of them said, "I want to talk to you at lunch." I said, "All right." And he was such a statue of a man, I honestly got nervous when he said that. I didn't know what he was going to say. I thought he might be going to criticize my grammar or my English. I didn't know. I preached that morning, and he got me off the side. We went off down in an area, and he said, "I've got something I want to talk to you about." And I said, "Fine." He said, "Did I hear you say this morning that you were booked up for the next 3.5 years? And I said, "Yes, sir, that's right." He said, "You mean to tell me that you are scheduled for 3.5 years in revival?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Please don't misapply that. Please don't misinterpret this." And I said, "That's right. That's exactly right." And I said, "What do you want to ask me?" He said, "Here I am. I've got degrees that I can nearly plaster my wall. Earned and honorary. I can frame them and oh, there they are. I've got them. I've earned them. I've studied. I've applied myself." But he said, "I'm not even booked for the next 2 months." Now listen. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. He said, "What's the matter?" Now listen. Suddenly God said, "Tell him this." And God spoke through my mouth. Said, "Tell him to die to yourself." And I said, "God wants you to die to yourself." Isn't that great, man? I mean, listen, I love you. I believe a man saved. But listen, all he had was a head full. I mean, it was packed jam full and was good, but he never had turned it over to God. And he said, "Will you pray with me right here?" And down on our knees, a plow jockey, a clod hopper, a dirt farmer, the ex-son of an ex-bootlegger, an ex-truck driver, went down by the side of a man, and he said, "God, kill every bit of pride. Kill everything that's not real. Turn me loose. God, here's my life. Use me." Last time I saw him, he said, "God's about to preach me to death." See, God can't use you until you see how unusable you really are. Are you listening to me? Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. So God makes the difference in our hearts. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I've got to hurry. Then God not only makes a difference in our hearts, the Lord makes a difference in our homes. Are you listening to me? I don't care if you've got furniture that dates back to King Louis. Or I don't care if you've got an antique nail keg. I don't care, God bless your heart, if the carpet's so plush and the pile is so high that last week you lost one of your children in the carpet. I don't care, bless your heart, if you've got crystal that sparkles so much you have to wear sunshades when you go to the table. If the Lord's not there, you just got a house.
Amen.
See, it's not whether you live in a mobile home or got bricks stocked up on top of one another. It's whether God lives there.
Amen.
It's not whether you've got a stake that you have to have a wash tub to put it in or not. You can have baloney.
Hallelujah.
And still be a place. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I don't care whether you've got a maid to wash your clothes or you've got to go down to the wash tub. If God's in there, you can sing. Anywhere is home. Let come and go what may. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not whether or not you've got a Rolls Royce or not. It's not whether you've got a Cadillac or it's not whether you've got a Lincoln Continental. You can have a skateboard and still be happy.
Amen.
Amen. I just about knocked you off your pier. See, what I'm trying to say is, it's not whether it's that mansion on the hill or that shack in the hollow. It's whether God lives there.
Amen.
I get an awful lot of criticism. God's given me my cars through His people for about the last 15, 14 years now. The last thing God gave me was the white Cadillac out there. And somebody said, "Ah, I wouldn't have that. If something was given to you, you would, amen." See, I couldn't have afforded a skateboard with a Volkswagen engine in it. I couldn't have, but God did it. But let me say this. Some time ago, I was riding down the road in that big old, almost $20,000 car. Oh, here I am. And all of a sudden, God said, "Turn right." I said, "Yes, sir." I drove a little while, and God said, "Turn left." I said, "Yes, sir." And all of a sudden, I saw where God was taking me to the first church I ever pastored. And I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to walk from 3 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock to get up for Sunday school. Didn't have no car. Lived in an old store building, no ceiling in it. The walls were paper, the newspaper with flour paste. Kerosene lamp. God drove me up in that yard, that little church, and said, "Son, look back coming across that hill, that son. You remember a little boy preacher with a dime store Bible under his arm? Didn't have no car, boy. He lived in the store building. And when the folks wouldn't ask him to go home and have lunch with him, remember that little boy would lay down on the back pew or lay down on a pew and sleep the rest of the afternoon, preach that night, walk home." He said, "Son, what kind of car are you in?" I said, "Lord, it's a Cadillac." "You folks come out of school, I just you two school. Well, I'm about to have a shop spell. I'll tell you all about it." And he said, "What did it cost, son?" And I told him. And he said, "Lord, son," said, I've been with you. I've blessed you. And I've brought you to here. But don't you ever forget who done it."
Amen.
Said, "Remember, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." See, if God can trust you with a Rolls Royce, that's all right. Somebody said, "I wonder why God hadn't given me one." See, some of you would get exalted. It says, "Look how big I am. And see, if I thought I was big, I never would have told you that story."
But I realize that God's took nothing. And what's been made, God's made. And that day I drove out of that yard, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just thank you, God. And every time I turned that old Cadillac on, I said, thank you, Jesus. See, God will make a difference in your life if you'll give Him the glory.
Amen.
I don't believe some of them listening to me. Few of them are nodding their little pointed heads, you know. God will make a difference in your home. All that bickering, all that arguing and fighting, all of that just strife in there. You can't even talk to each other without not getting into a fuss. Walking full of pride and proud. I saw preachers come into church as if to say,
yes, sir.
Look at me, I'm here. Makes me want to stick out my fist and run into it about 100 miles an hour. Knock both eyeballs into one. Knock a knot on their head, have to climb a ladder and scratch. She said, God brought me home empty. It'd be a great day in your church, Brother Charles, if God would slaughter some folks in. And empty old self out. Empty all that junk you've got in your life. God not only makes a difference in the heart, God not only makes a difference in the home, God makes a difference in the time by hardships. You can go through the biggest storm if the Lord's there. I mean, all hell could be breaking around you. But if the Lord's just nudging up against you and saying, don't worry, son, I'm right here. I mean, you can walk out behind that casket through that graveyard. And if the Lord just puts His arms around you, you're straightened up.
Amen.
The Lord makes a difference in our hardships. And the Lord makes a difference in the hour of death. And I remember the old saint I was watching go home getting promoted. I walked in and there she lay on a little cotton mattress swaying like this. With no air conditioning in that little shack, she's leaving for this world. And her daughter walked in and sat down on the foot of the bed, started doing mama little blessed little hands and honey, don't sit down there. Said, you almost sit down, the angel would laugh. You said you think she saw an angel? Just as sure as the world. Ain't a doubt in my mind. And I walked in and said, Mama, how are you? She said, that you, Preacher Blue. And I said, yeah, darling, it's me. She said, yes, what? I said, what? She said, there's a great big angel standing right there by the side of you. I said, you're kidding. And she said, Preacher Blue, will you help me sing a song? I said, I sure will. We started. She didn't have much breath. After a while, a hand raised up. And she folded her own hands. You laugh if you want to, but I felt a breeze. I felt a breeze sweep through that room. I believe great big angels reached down and got her. They went past Pluto, Jupiter, Venus, Mars, and sailed into the portals of God's glory. And the children of God started saying, welcome home! Hallelujah! See, He'll make a difference in the hour of death. And then He'll make a difference in the hereafter. I'm so glad when I step upon that balance. Devil said, hey, old Ed Blue used to be a gambler, a dirty mouth, and a woman chaser. God looks around and said, all I see is the blood of my son. All I see.
Amen.
All I see is the blood of my son. See, in the hereafter, honey, you better have the Lord. I'm so glad he's mine. I'm so glad I don't have to lay down tonight and say, I hope I make it. Oh, it's settled. I mean, are you saying that you're good, Preacher Blue? No, sirree, I am not good. I'm probably one of the sorriest fellows you've ever met. But Christ in you, I'm not good, Brother Shaw. You're not either. None of us are. You, dear lady, saying that God bless you. That's good. But we, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, are talking to you. Look, Charles, I'm with you. First time I ever met you. Good kindred spirit. Good kindred spirit. But in the good department, you and I both strike it. Big old fellow over here, he shouts a lot, having a good time. That's fine. Oh, that's good. No problem with it. Thank you. We strike out the good department. None of you women here tonight, I don't care how godly looking you look. I don't care how chaste you want to be. You strike out the good department. But if you're not good, you need to be good. I love you, baby. Those of you saw the old Donald walked up last night. Come from her. You folks don't know it, but she's, I've known her ever since she was this high. None of you are here. None of you. The Lord makes me here. That's all. If you don't have Him, if you don't let Him take control of your life, let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you'd die tonight? If there's that stinking pride in you and keep you from being your best for Jesus, and just keep you all uptight all the time trying to impress people and trying to make them think how great you are, wouldn't it be wonderful if you just died tonight? And leave here tonight saying, Lord, you're in the driver's seat. What you want, I'm happy about it. Amen. God, if you want me to sell my house and give the money to missions, that's all right, Lord. We'll move in that little trailer down here. Whatever it is, God, don't make no difference. Some of you got a flash. You said, oh, I couldn't go down that far. I mean, I could. Listen, I just couldn't hardly do that. You want to slay self. You want to let God kill you. The prettiest thing you ever saw your life back is the lady said, I go to the beauty parlor every week. She said, I never was able to fix my hair. Never did look good to me. I said, Lord, I want to give you every bit of that money that I've been going to shop for. I want to give it to missions. I'll do the best I can in the past. One lady got up and said, I'm going to sell my washer and dryer, give it to missions. Some of you looking at me awful funny. You think you couldn't be suggesting that at all, could you? Not what I'm suggesting, it's what's screaming in your heart right now. You said, does God want me to do it? Won't you be with me? I believe God's knocking at some of your hearts tonight. You've got too much pride, ain't you? You're pretty proud, ain't you? Really, you think that you really are the icing on the cake, don't you? Just couldn't get along without you, could we? Be a blessing to try. Blessing to try. I don't know what you think of me, but God sent a message to this place tonight. You said, how many you think? I don't know. I'm not keeping the numbers. But God knows. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
some of you need tonight to die. You really do. And if you leave this altar from dying and alive to Christ, your life will take on some meaning that never has had before. I want them to come to the instruments and give out. Tired, give out. In my hand no price I pray, but simply to the cross I cling. Now I want you to check your heart out right now. God spoke to some of you, hadn't He? God's dealt with you. God spoke to you. And tonight you need definitely to do something about it. Ladies, men, ladies and gentlemen, young ladies, young men, young ladies and young gentlemen, if God has moved on your heart tonight, I want to see the hands of everyone that said, I want to be used of the Lord. I want God to use my life. I'm saved, and I want God to use my life. Raise it up high, way up high. Kind of wave it at me just a little bit. You may or may not know what you're saying right now, but tonight God may nudge you and point you in the direction of Africa. You never said, God, use me in Knoxville. You said, I want God to use me. God may use you in a way that you're not even thinking about. God may slaughter you tonight. And she said, God brought me home empty. Go ahead. God brought me home empty. God may be about ready to take everything you've got, everything, and start you from rock bottom. When you raise that hand and say, God, use me, honey, you flat set a mountain. Every head bowed and every eye closed and every Christian prayed. Don't look around. Don't look and see what everybody else is going to do, but see what you're going to do. I wonder how many tonight will honestly say, Preacher Blue, God has showed me some areas in my life. God has showed me myself. I'm not proud of what I see. I know tonight that I need to turn everything over to God. My life, everything. I haven't done it, but I need to. I wonder how many here tonight God has literally dealt with. Would you raise your hand? Say, pray for me. Up high, some have both hands up now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Take them down. You're not proud of what you found, are you? It's not good, is it? While we're waiting on them, I wonder if there's somebody here said, I've never been saved. I don't know the Lord Jesus. I've never been born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Anybody? Anywhere? Anywhere? My Father, tonight in the lovely, adorable name of Jesus, I come to thee. Lord, speak to other hearts. I believe the altar's going to be full. Lord, don't let them make a mockery out of this. Help them to mean business. Help them to want to die to self and every ugly thing in their life. God, you make the difference. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together, please. God's dealt with you, and you need to come call or do so right now. Thank you, brother.